C Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by the Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Rockstar Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this interesting Thursday afternoon. The whole Wednesday passed me because the Wednesday was my birthday and and it was wonderful and fantastic. So glad you could join us today for what's going to be a bit of an abridged show today. So I'm going to be with you for the first hour, and then I'm going to leave you in the second hour with what is going to be a pre-recorded second half of a show. But we did want to spend some time today, because you may or may not have heard now that Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II has died in Scotland, we're told, and that the world. And there are many in the world, there are some people who may not be so moved, but many in the world who will be stunned to hear of her passing, and who will mourn her passing. She has been a staple on the world scene now for decades. I think she passes now at 96 years old. And imagine the things that Queen Elizabeth has passed through. And just in case you wondered, and I know many of you know, she is the Queen of England, yes. She's the Queen of the Commonwealth. The Bahamas is a Commonwealth country. She's the head of state of the Bahamas. The head of government is the Prime Minister, but the head of state is the government. Is the Queen, and her representative here is the Governor General. And so certainly on behalf of the show and all good-thinking Bahamians station, I'm sure we want to extend condolences to her family, Prince Charles, now her eldest son, will become king. Oh, he is now king, and will inherit all that her royal post held. But Queen Elizabeth has now died, and that actually is a bit of a surprise, I'm sure, to some, because there was never a time when the Queen appeared to be in any kind of long-standing medical distress or anything of that nature. And while I do believe that there was some knowledge of some ailment on her part, I don't think that anybody was quite thinking that her passing was so imminent. And here we have today the news that the Queen has indeed died. And I'm sure that there are many, many, many a folk who will for some time now be commenting upon the fact of the Queen and her passing, and will comment upon her role in history. She was born on April 21st in 1926 on Bruton Street, London, United Kingdom. And I'm trying to recall when she, in fact, took the throne. I think in 1952, I think it was, she took the throne. I'm not mistaken, February 6th, in fact. And held it to the day she passed away. And only Queen Victoria was the longest reigning monarch until Queen Elizabeth. She was, of course, born to the House of Windsor, as they typically say. I imagine that over the next several weeks, there'll be quite a bit of reminiscing, condolences, memorials to this queen. I personally met the Queen of England twice, Queen Elizabeth. I met her once in 1985, I believe it was, when she visited the Bahamas. She came to the College of the Bahamas to inaugurate the Student Union building, and I was the president of the Student Union at the time, and so I had the honor of escorting her along with Prime Minister Sir Lyndon Pindling around the interior of the Student Union building, introducing her to the other officers in the Student Union, the student government, and it was quite something. And then again, I had the honor of escorting my mother, who was a senator, during the visit of the Queen on her yacht, and I met her again during the course of that visit. And she is, despite her royal disposition, she was a warm person, always, it seemed, on her game in managing the many protocols attendant to being the queen. And I always found the experience of meeting with her the one. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. The Queen of England passes away at 96 years old. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about this. We'll be back after this break.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Join Cleft of the Rock Foundation in conjunction with the Bahamar Foundation for the inaugural Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, Sunday, October 2nd, at the world-famous Royal Blue Golf Course, Bahamar, Nassau, the Bahamas. An exciting and fun-filled day with lots of great prizes, but more importantly, an opportunity to give back to the communities of the Bahamas. Proceeds from this event will fund our essential programs, including Parenting on Purpose, raising awareness of the need for parent education. It's the Cleft of the Rock Inaugural Charity Golf Tournament, October 2nd. We're rebuilding villages, one family at a time. For more information and to sign up, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When faced with like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday. It'll be so beautiful for people who, family and friends and loved ones of the now late Queen Elizabeth II, who we are just learning has passed away. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Queen Elizabeth was the elder daughter of Prince Albert, the Duke of York, and his wife, Lady Elizabeth Bowes Lyon. She was as the child of a younger son of King George V. It was not expected. In fact, far from expected that Elizabeth would in fact become queen. She did in fact do so. It was when her uncle, Edward VIII, afterward the Duke of Windsor, abdicated in her father's favor on December 11, 1936. And her father, therefore, became King George VI, and she became the presumptive heir to the throne. We are told that her education was heavily supervised by her mother, and that under her mother's tutelage, she came to bear much of the fine qualities that they say made her such an outstanding queen. Of course, she was Queen of England during World War II. And was part and parcel of many significant events that across the globe. Of course, having been on the throne as long as she's been on the throne, they were not spared both praise and vitriol as royalty. But I think it'd be hard to find folk who didn't think that she handled the whole affair with a fair amount of grace and composure. And I know that some of the personal foibles that her family went through, particularly involving Charles and Diana, and those were trying times for her. But again, with enormous grace and composure, she remained a steady queen. And while it has become more of a norm for folk to really express some disregard and opposition to the royal family, not just in Commonwealth countries like ours and others, but even in England, where while there's a real love affair with the royalty, there's also a growing frustration with it. But through all of that, she held her own, and for 50 plus years occupied the throne, represented her family, consoled the Commonwealth, played host to the world, to heads of state and governments from all across the globe, from the most dignified to some of the most idiotic of leadership you could find, but in all the while maintaining the dignity of the office that she held. And she will, history, I think, will reflect warmly on her tenure as queen, and that Charles will, no doubt, in replacing her, find that he has very large shoes to fill. Someone says the royal family is more German than English, but culturally, Queen Elizabeth II elevated duty and led Britain well. Well, the royal family is more English than German, right? You can be born somewhere, you can have roots somewhere, but essentially in your character and in your traits, if you reflect the characteristics of the place where you inhabit for decades and decades, I'm sorry, you ain't more English than you ain't more English, right? Queen will not, there's hardly any human being on the planet who will think of, look at, remember, recall the any speeches, any behavior, any conduct by the Queen and believe he has a German family. I don't think so. But, I mean, that's all just for debate. The fact of the matter is, she was the Queen of England. She was the Queen of the Bahamas. She was the Queen of the Commonwealth. And I would say that represented extremely well both her family, and this was a powerful, wealthy woman in the spotlight from an early age, and who had to be mindful always. Do you know how much of yourself you be in that much public life? Or to always be mindful of the throne she held and the people she represented and the things that she had to do. And she was a very wealthy woman, very, very wealthy woman. Says Prince Charles will inherit the British throne at age 73 following the death of Queen Elizabeth. He and his family will also inherit the Queen's estimated $500 million fortune, and received the annual sovereign grant, which is $116 million in 2021. Yeah, I don't know what the net worth is, and I don't know what. I just know they're very wealthy people, not surprisingly so. And notwithstanding her wealth, I don't believe anyone would regard this place at least as snobbish, you know, dignified, absolutely. But she was something else. So you know, that's history would have it. Some people would say, had things been different, Charles would be king. and Diana would be queen. Somebody reminded me, a king can always make a queen, but a queen can never make her husband king. So to be a queen, you got to have had a king. But no queen can make you a king. The only time a queen can make you a king, if the king died and the queen leaves a son. That's the only way a queen can make a man a king. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll take a break and we'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Join Cleft of the Rock Foundation in conjunction with the Bahamar Foundation for the inaugural Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, Sunday, October 2nd, at the world-famous Royal Blue Golf Course, Bahamar, Nassau, the Bahamas. An exciting and fun-filled day with lots of great prizes, but more importantly, an opportunity to give back to the communities of the Bahamas. Proceeds from this event will fund our essential programs, including raising awareness of the need for parent education. It's the Cleft of the Rock Inaugural Charity Golf Tournament, October 2nd. We're rebuilding villages, one family at a time. For more information and to sign up, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. where we have been speaking about the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. We're not talking about whether the Bahamas should have her as queen or not. The Bahamas don't have to have her as queen anymore, that's for sure. Will not, because now the Bahamas will have a king, like all the rest of the Commonwealth. And then we'll have to decide, we'll have to have a debate on whether we shouldn't have the king as king of the Bahamas anymore. For 70 years, as some people reminded me, Elizabeth served on the throne of England, and she has been for some time now the longest reigning royalty, and so now Prince Charles becomes the king. And so, another generation of royalty will take the throne. And so, I'm sure there are many who will, with affection, remember Queen Elizabeth, many in England, no doubt. There will be others who may not care less about it. For those in the Bahamas, who, you know, observe these things, whether just out of pure courtesy, there will be a recognition of this lady who in so many ways demonstrated fortitude and class and dignity and holding what for a time for her was the most powerful seat on the planet, reigning as they did over an empire at one point in which they said the sun never set. It rose in the east in India. It set in the west, in North America, and they had had claims to all of it. And that while in our earlier days there was real and genuine power, governing power associated with her responsibilities on the throne, over time that would wane to a somewhat more ceremonious role, and that they would represent in ways, especially within the Commonwealth, a certain aspiration for community, a certain aspiration for unity, a certain aspiration for development of certain aspiration to make a departure from their colonial past, to embrace a more modern world with principles based not on the divine right of men and women to reign and govern, but on the will of the people through a democracy to govern themselves. And that when she had to steer her country and her Commonwealth through, and that she would have had to contend with the changing ethos, the changing cultural norms, the changing mindsets of generations evolving from a place of stubborn, rigid adherence to protocols of behavior that were befitting a throne to an open, more liberal, more human, more in touch ceremonial representation of the high aspirations of a people. And she would have had to guide her family. A family not, you know, we look at these people and we know that they are, in quote, royalty, but these are human beings, right? Who have emotions, on all the 32,000 emotions that have been identified, that range from happiness to sadness to anger and depression. We even know that Harry opened up about some of his own battles with depression But these are people who had abundance. And this is one of the reasons why in the lives of these folks, we can see how delusional it is to believe that happiness could be found in abundance, could be found in popularity and fame, could be found in so many of the trappings of this world that we so desperately seek to have. Because these people have it. But they also have the problems we have. How you figure that? But yet, there's also displayed in some of them, in the Queen in particular, an ability to remain, it seemed, centered, or at least publicly focused on the task to demonstrate and reflect the kind of strength people need in times of challenge and change. And sometimes to change when it was necessary, if it was her who opened up the royal family to closer scrutiny when cameras were allowed to come in and document their movements, etc. Of course, in a more or less controlled way, but in nonetheless to invite people in. She recognized that there was this gap, this chasm that existed between them and the people, and that there needed to be an opportunity to bring that, to bridge that gap. And she did things that would do that, to her credit. And maybe because of her, the royal family may have more tension than might have been tolerated had she not recognized and responded to the need for that change. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, and a belated happy birthday. I did not know until yesterday that was your birthday, as the station seemed to have problems for a few days. May God continue to bless you and you live to enjoy many more. Mr. Lang, the Queen served with such grace and poise, elegance, and all the good words that describe her presence. There are many of us who would never see her years, and I know of no other person who could handle the situations she did with such composure. Some people never have anything good to say about anyone. They did not say anything good about Jesus. Condolences to her family and all of those who she represents. I will always respect her. May she rest in peace. Well said. Very well said. Very well said. We have another text here. It says it was 1952, 70 years in power. Yes, you're right. This text says, happy belated birthday, Mr. Lang. Thanks for sharing your insight and life with us. I personally appreciate it and have learned a lot. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Been my pleasure. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, extraordinary life to come into, an extraordinary life to live, a privileged life, no doubt, but extraordinary life come into. And I think all of my observations on the planet have shown that no matter how privileged a life is, it is a life, and it comes with an enormous amount of struggle, personal and otherwise, and how we handle them has much to do with our internals. And I think the Queen has demonstrated of good character traits. Was she perfect? I highly doubt so. I don't know any of her foibles, but I don't know. But I do know what was displayed for us was something to behold. So the story is that Queen Elizabeth II helped to press Thatcher to move somewhat at Chogham to result in the Nassau Accord, okay? You know, one of the things that will never be known, perhaps, is all the ways in which the Queen influenced the world. Sometimes she may have whispered something to a world leader just to make them rethink a course that they were taking. You don't know. To have been around that long, to have met as many great men and women as she did, I hardly believe it was impossible for her to have been a great influencer on the world scene. Queen Elizabeth II, the Queen of England, Queen of the Bahamas, the Queen of the Commonwealth, the Queen for 70 years, on September 8th, 2022, one day after I celebrated my birthday, has passed from this life into the next. And as they say, long live the king. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'll leave you with a pre-recorded show, as I have some matter I must attend to that I cannot now break. God bless you. God bless our Bahamas.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever on the wall. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. Can't complain, this is
this. It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me tell you all something. Even the most excellent of leadership cannot guarantee success in the leadership enterprise. You can have a perfect leader and still fail in what you are attempting to do. Example of that is Almighty God. This world is not the way he wanted it to be. Even the Garden of Eden was not the way he wanted it to be, insofar as the conduct of the humans he created were. So excellent, strong leadership does not guarantee success in an organization, and it is foolish, naive to think otherwise. What excellent and good leadership does is improves your prospect for succeeding and gives you the best shot at rectifying the circumstance when things go amiss. Because leadership is a dance between leaders and followers. Leaders have their own free will. Followers have their own free will. Followers don't have to do what leaders want, and leaders don't have to do what followers want. They have to agree between themselves to do so. This is true in all human relationships, right? The Bible says, as an example, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So what leaders have to understand, whether you are a father, a husband, a wife, a guardian, a teacher, a principal, a manager, a prime minister, a cabinet minister, a member of parliament, what we have to understand is that we lead with the agreement of that individual, independent, separate soul that is a part of our grouping. They agree with us to follow us. What we have to figure out is, we have to figure out what things that we can do, say, be, that in agreement and cooperation
more than anything else. And so we do those things and avoid the things that discourages that agreement, cooperation, and following. So for instance, one thing we do know is that when we serve people, like when we show people that we have their interests at heart, we seek to ensure that they are capable of succeeding as we wish to succeed, when we help them see the bigger picture that will benefit them, we know that there is a greater tendency, not perfect tendency, but greater tendency on their part to follow. So leadership is a dance between cooperating parties. So sometimes you have great leaders and bad followers, and sometimes you have great followers and bad leaders. Sometimes you have great leaders and great followers, and sometimes you have bad leaders and bad followers. Okay? So the people organizations, I talked about leadership before, right? If you are in an organization, listen to me now. I want you to see how absolutely ridiculous some of our thinking and behavior can be. You are in an organization and you say, this is what you say, we are the FNM. We are the PLP. That's what you say. You say, we. You didn't say, I am the FNM. You say, I am the PLP. You say, we are the FNM. We are the PLP. So you are acknowledging that the other person in the group is one of you. That's what you're saying. What is going through your doggone head when you castigate, insult, put down, and then violently attack that person? What is going through your head? That you're going to have a better organization because of this? You're going to have a stronger organization because of this? You're going to look better to the people you're trying to get to support your organization because of this? What is good? You have just demonstrated you have no concern for that organization. You have no interest in that organization. You are only about yourself. That your level of maturity is not sufficient to allow you to say, you know what, I really want to attack that person. I'm angry with that person. But it serves no useful purpose for me to follow through on that thought. It serves not the interest of my folk to do that. So I'm not going to. Now, it might be this case that you can't have helped yourself because you were under the influence of something. You know, sometimes we are under the influence of other people's directives. Sometimes we are under the influence of people's financial encouragement. Sometimes we are under the influence of alcohol. Sometimes we are under the influence of drugs. Sometimes we are under the influence of something. Sometimes it could be under the influence of demonic spirits that we do what we do, even though that doesn't excuse us. They don't excuse us because we still make that choice to do it. Okay? But recognize that hating on someone who belongs to your group is an exact statement of your own self-hatred. Let me say it again. To hate on your family member is a reflection of your self-hatred. To hate on your work colleagues is a reflection of your self-hatred. To hate on your boss is a reflection of your self-hatred. You hate yourself because if in that hatred you wish ill on your colleagues and your leadership, then you wish ill on the organization that is a part of the effort to help you get where you want to go, so you hate yourself. If you hate people in the Bahamas, you hate the Bahamas because you hate yourself. This is listen, now, let me tell you something. Many of us, and you hear me, Shivago Lang, say us, right? We are wounded human beings. When we were born, our hearts were pure. and our sense of self was authentic. And as infants and children, we were real as real could get, right? We were pure. Our motives were pure. Our desires were pure. And we lived in a genuine self-expression. So when you see that child laugh, the child is genuinely laughing. When that child cries, the child is genuinely crying. When you see that child gives you a hug, that's a genuine hug. You have to beg a child for a hug. If you got to beg them for a hug, don't beg the child for the hug. Leave the child. The child, let the child hug you. If you ask the child for the hug and the child hugs you, okay, get your hug. If the child don't hug you, leave that child. That child is acting in genuine, authentic, virtuous self-fulfillment. Right? But then, as we grow, as we age, we start having experiences. People start letting us down. Things start happening to us, bad, negative. And now, you know what happens? What enters our lives? Pain. We experience pain, and every human being knows pain ain't pleasant. I don't want no pain in my life. So that's what keeps the child from doing the thing that got it stick with the needle in the first place, got it burnt from the pot in the first place. Pain, I don't want that pain. Now, that's physical pain. That's what they sometimes call clean pain. Okay, physical pain. The pain that wounds, the physical body, that's called clean pain because, you know, it happens, the body heals itself, boom. But then there's dirty pain. That's the pain that wounds the mind, the psychological pain. And that's the kind of pain that a lot of us don't know how to heal from it. There's not a natural process of healing from it that the body does without even our minds being involved. We don't know how to heal from that. And so what we know is, boy, there's all this pain in the world, and I don't want that kind of pain. And we do all kind of crap to try to avoid that pain. Some of us, that pain it causes us to feel a way about ourselves, to feel like we are not really so important. We're not really so valuable. We really don't matter that much. And what happens is we overshoot in trying to counteract that pain by doing things that make us matter. So I'm a big time lawyer. I'm a big time doctor. I'm a big time businessman. I got lots of money and all that kind of stuff. And all that those things are doing is covering up our self-sense of insecurity about how we don't believe we are all of that. But these things make us look like all of that. And so what happens is from time to time, things happen, events happen, people happen that touch that soft spot of insecurity in us, and it kicks in defensiveness. It kicks in anger. And we want to lash out to try and cover up that spot again so that we aren't in pain. Let me tell you something. These same people you admire and adore, these same people are those kinds of human beings who are in pain and behaving out of that pain and out of the fear of any such pain coming into their lives or being exposed. And that's why we behave in the irrational ways that we behave. I've been that person. Yeah. I've been that person acting out of defensiveness, acting out of concern to protect some false identity that I have. I didn't see the identity as false at the time. No, I didn't. This was me. This was the way I am. But when you delve deeper, that wasn't no you. That was you trying to protect yourself from being hurt by people. So you don't want to be hurt by people emotionally. You act stoically. You don't want to be hurt by people and rejected by people. You control your environment. You control what you're doing. And we have leaders who are wounded children in adult bodies, acting in adult positions that they ought not to be in until they get healing, find their genuine self again, and be able to deal with people on a level of compassion and love, honesty and truth right? That's most of us. Most of us need this healing. We need to be free from the fears that drive us to do stupid things. Because at the heart of it is a bunch of fear. You see that leader? Look strong, eh? Look courageous, eh? Ain't nothing but a shell. Scared as hell that you might find out they really ain't all that. They really don't have it all together as they seem to think or seem to make you think. They're scared to get to see them in their nakedness. See us in our nakedness. Rather than understand, you know, when I come to grips with who I am or what I am, I see a person with great capabilities, but I also see a person inadequate in ways, but that's okay because I'm a growing soul and I can grow into. And if I can lean on you and if I can rely on you, that makes us all together strong and we can get this done. It is the fool who thinks that I alone can fix it. Let me say it again. It is the fool who thinks I alone can fix it. That's not absolute nonsense. I alone can't fix nothing. So followers have to take responsibility for behaving in ways that demonstrates compassion, care, and concern for their colleagues and must reflect kindness toward them. You're listening to me. You're a voter in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. If you saw an organization, a political organization in which you saw camaraderie between its members, care and concern between its members, absolute cooperation between its members, are you more or less likely to support that organization? Somebody tell me, please, unless I burn out my mind. You look at this organization, you go, wow, there's such a authenticity about the way they behave with each other, the way they, even in their disagreement, there is such beauty even in their disagreement. I mean, that's fascinating. I'm not talking about this threatening people to shut up and to pretend like everything is hunky-dory. You know, I'm not talking about that's nonsense. I'm talking about openness to say, in this organization, you could be black, white, green, yellow. You could be male or female. You could be rich or poor. You could be Indian or chief or doctor, lawyer, carpenter, electrician or maid. In this organization, look, can you see the cooperation that's taking place? Do you see the tenderness and the care and concern and the kindness that the leaders show toward the members and the members show toward the leaders? Do you see how they are able to interject their concerns about what the organization is doing without being attacked by doing that they could be vulnerable in the organization to express their feelings, their hurt, and still what happens is they come together and try to fix it and make it work so that they can be, for the cause that they serve, a better group? You support that organization or would you condemn them? Would you shun them? This person says support. Yeah, I would support that kind of organization for sure. Stack says, preach, line, preach. Powerful statement. I thank you. I'm dead serious. I mean, listen, man. I'm trying to be rid of every single underlying pain in my life because all pain does is induce fear. And fear makes us behave like slaves. Huh? What you say, Mr. Lang? Yeah, fear makes you behave like a slave. You know why? Because it makes you a slave. How does a slave behave? Limited, right? Survivalistic, diminished, right? You can't be your full self. The slave knows they are better human beings than the human masters treating them like. The slave knows that. The slave knows that they have enormous potential, but they got to be careful. They can't offend the master. They got to be careful what they do. They even have to be careful of other slaves because other slaves might tell the master what they're doing, and then all of a sudden they become in trouble. So fear makes us act like slaves. If you want to know how fearful you are, just check how you behave. Why are you doing the things you're doing? Do you want to know how to know whether you are acting in fear? Stop doing it. If you stop doing it and you continue to be restless and anxious, you're acting in fear. If you stop doing what you're doing and you're no longer anxious and fearful, you're not acting in fear. That's how you know. Like if you're dating somebody, right, and you are anxious and fearful and worried, and if you stop dating them and you're still anxious and fearful and worried, then they are not your problem. But if you stop dating them and you are not anxious, fearful, and worried, then you are dating them out of fear and worry. Right? So we have to be conscious as both leaders and followers that as human beings, if we're not healthy, and by healthy I mean if we don't have a healthy self, a sense of self, if our own views of ourselves, opinions of ourselves are not realistic, because some of us, we have unrealistic views of ourselves. And it's that unrealistic view that makes us so defensive, because when people challenge it, we get at them quickly. I used to have an unrealistic view of myself. That is true. I used to. A part of my defensiveness was that I had an unrealistic view of myself, born of the events and things that happened in my life. I used to. And when I ceased to do that, my defensiveness diminished. Right? And so you got to keep growing. So you see that incident that happened in the parking lot? If the Free National Movement is wise, it will become a much stronger organization. It's already a strong organization, just as the PLP is, but it'll become a much stronger and better organization if it fully takes advantage of that event. It has an opportunity. It's only so. Okay? Even the offenders, your response to the offenders is going to tell a story of you. Right? The victim clearly will receive a certain degree of compassion from many, and that is necessary. The offender, that treatment also will reflect your character. Now, that don't mean you excuse nonsense and crap and stupidness people do. That just means even in your execution of fairness and justice, the tenderness or the grace with which you do it will reflect on the character of the organization. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this break. This break.
To take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Buying a home is one of the most important investment decisions you'll ever make, so it's best to insure your home for the full replacement value. If your home is underinsured, the condition of average could apply and reduce the amount you'll receive if you make a claim. Ask your insurance agent about underinsurance and condition of average before you purchase or renew your home insurance policy. For more information, visit www.icb.gov.bs. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, good day, yes, would inspire hope and enthusiasm for their cause, meaning the leader, especially in a time like this when there are so many reasons to feel negative and sense of hopelessness. I'm going to come back to that statement in a little while. I'm going to come back to that. This text says, pain induces fear and makes you act irrationally. That's true. It's true. So Mr. Lang, but pain is a natural reaction. It is how the body releases emotions. If you get rid of pain, you might become emotionless. Fear is also not an animal kingdom. We all are afraid of something. You're right that pain is natural and fear is natural, but do you really believe it was God's intention that Adam and Eve dwell in the garden in fear and pain? Do you really believe that? You believe that that's what the intent was? Do you believe that pain will exist? I'm only saying this if you believe in God now, and if you believe in the scripture, that pain will exist in paradise. Did not the Bible say, and all tears shall be wiped from their eyes and there'll be pain no more? What is natural does not mean that that is what is intended to always be. It is an adaptive trait for an environment you're in. So there is an intelligence about pain. It's a warning signal. It says something is wrong, but that only warns this so that you can get rid of the pain. Okay, that's the point that I made. You're trying to get rid. That's why it's warning. You don't have the warning signal so it can stay there. It's to tell you, listen, take a look at that toe. Take a look at that elbow. Take a look at that fingernail. Something is wrong. And once you take a look and do the necessary to heal, the body does the necessary to heal, what happens to the pain? It goes away. So it's not natural doesn't mean it must be. Natural means it's there in the event of. So I'm saying you get rid of the pain. Fear is only a feeling you have of anticipating pain. That's what fear is. So that too is tied to the pain. Once you get rid of the pain, you can get rid of the fear. Because once you understand emotionally how things are working, you can recognize the irrationality of fear. The Bible says fear is bondage. Do you think God intended us to be in bondage? Therefore, we should be okay with fear. Fear is not bad. It's an intelligence that your human being has to tell it something is wrong. But once you fix what is wrong, the fear should go away. You don't want to live in constant fear. Even the human body becomes diseased by continuous fear. Okay? The fear that exists in nature exists temporarily. Animals aren't continuously fearful. In their primal state, their mind, their brains are considering their environment for threats, right? But animals don't live in fear. The animal lives in observation of its environment and reaction and response to the things in it. You know what? You ever hear about any animal dying of stress? Having any stroke? From pressure? The text says, I see your point. That's why you are the teacher and I'm the student. Keep up the good work. I thank you. I thank you for asking the question. This text says, Lang, is that music part of your talk show? What music? I don't hear no music, my friend. Might be on your side. Unless the station got some music playing. Dex says, the problem is Minis needs to go to be a doctor and Pinta a Toastmaster and Papa needs to come and run the show to get rid of the one-way flow wave. What ain't so brave? Oh, Lord. I don't think any of that is true, but, but you know, they just need to address appropriately the issues and move on, move forward. Okay, what needs to happen in every instance. You do your best. Fix it. You know? Fix it. This is a great opportunity, I think, for Mr. Pintad as leader. See, we all want somebody says intermittent static. Well, I don't know. I don't know where the static is coming from. I don't. You can't hear me also? Really? I don't know what that's about. I have the same setup I have every single day. And I don't know. So I don't know. Maybe we'll figure it out one day. But I really don't know. Say, wait, did you say Papa coming back? No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I don't think there's any Papa coming back. But you know, I suppose if others believe they could come back, who knows? But I can assure you, I have no idea, no thought that is what's going to happen. So this says you were gone for about 60 seconds. Oh, okay. Okay, not sure what's going on there, but hopefully it's permanently resolved. You know, nostalgia is a part of the human experience, and wanting what you used to have because it represented something positive in your life, that's understandable. So when some people say they'd like to have Ingram back, some people say they'd like to have Penland back or what have you, that doesn't offend me or upset me. Like I hear sometimes others get offended and upset, you know. That's a part of the human experience, nostalgia for what was, especially if what was positive and believed to be positive by them, right? But nostalgia can also be a trap because it makes us, when you are nostalgic, let me break down for you all. Let me break something down for you all. You know why, if you break up with somebody, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you know why it's difficult to get over them? One of the reasons is nostalgia. Nostalgia keeps you in longing. And that longing keeps you in attachment. And that attachment makes you suffer because the reality you have is not the reality you want. And when your brain has a disconnect between what it wants and what it has, frustration ensues. And so if you're not careful how you handle nostalgia, nostalgia will make you we continue to long for that which cannot be. And anytime you are longing for that which cannot be, you get in frustration. Here's the other danger of nostalgia. Nostalgia that brings attachment makes you incapable of seeing a better something that could, a better reality that could exist for you. You could have a most wonderful human being looking there and saying, listen, I love this person. I really adore this person. What a grand thing it would be to be with that person. But you can't see them, and you won't even give that an opportunity because you are stuck in nostalgia. Okay? You're stuck in... Now, let me tell you this. Let me tell you. What you never want to do is never be desperate for a connection with anybody or anything. Never. Never be needy for a connection with anybody or anything. Once you have satisfied yourself with contentment to be yourself, you now can want to share yourself with somebody else or with something else. If you do it in desperation, it can be a problem. That's how you find and pick bad leaders when you're desperate. That's how you find and pick bad employees when you're desperate. That's how you find and pick bad husband and wife when you're desperate and needy. And you don't be that. So nostalgia has its place, but you know, you want to make sure it don't keep you attached to a reality you can no longer have. It says nostalgia being the confident authority. Yeah. There are leaders who the nostalgia of being what they were keeps them from moving on. There's no question about that. No question about it. So Mr. Lang, I want Papa back. But I don't think people in the FNM would have the temperament for Papa-type leadership because Papa don't put up with foolishness. Papa might tell them, only one chief in the party, everyone else is Indians. Okay. So Mr. Lang, a lot of us born today because of desperate and needy. It doesn't make no difference what would make you born because you have no control over your being born. All right? But you don't want that to be the normal in your life. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Papa needed to come back. You should open the show one day to find out how many, including myself, want Papa back. Make sure he's looking. Texas Lang, that's the most truest thing you ever said on this radio. And I'm not sure which one it was. As long as we in the flesh and blood, there be no peace. That's why flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom. Selah. But I don't agree with you. And if you're believing in Jesus Christ, Jesus don't believe with you. Because Jesus' disciples were in the flesh, and Jesus said to his disciples, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give it, give I it unto you. And if I give it to you, the world can't take it away. Okay, so I'm sorry. No, I don't agree with you at all. You can have peace. And I'm asking you, I have peace. I have peace today. I have peace. So I'm sorry. I don't agree with you at all. And apparently Jesus don't agree with you either. This text says, man, let Papa be an advisor and give Pinta a go. Well, Papa don't have to do nothing. Nobody has to do anything. Mr. Ingram is not now today the leader of the Free National Movement, and nor do I know that he's desiring to do so. And Mr. Pintard is. So there's no letting anything. Mr. Pintard is today the leader of the Free National Movement. That's the reality. There's no letting at all. He just leads. That's what he has to do. Say, no, don't do that survey about Papa coming back. People will misunderstand you, and PR will kill the party. Me, I have no interest in that. That's not my responsibility. If a party wants to know what people think is necessary for its success, the party does that. Right? That's not me. All right? So we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. We're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we wrap up the show. You listen. We'll be back after this break. Come now.
How important collecting your money is. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. When I was driving with my son today, I asked him, I said, what's the most dangerous animal you believe? What's the most dangerous animal? He said a box jellyfish. That's what he said. I think that's what he called it. I said, let me ask you a question. If you could absolutely control a box jellyfish, would you be scared of it? And he said, no. I said, what's the most dangerous dinosaur there was? And he said, a T-Rex. He said, no, not a T-Rex. He said, a Tyrannosaurus. I think that's the name of it. I could be wrong. I said, and if you knew that you could absolutely control such a creature, would you be afraid of it? He said, no. I said, what's the scariest, most dangerous monster like you know in the movies? He said, Godzilla. So I said, and if you thought that you could control Godzilla 100%, would you be afraid of Godzilla? He said, no. I didn't explain anything else to him, but I want you to see the pattern. And I did the same thing with my daughter. I asked her the same questions, and the answer was always no. If I could control, I wouldn't be afraid. Do you realize that fear drives us to be controlling? Because fear is essentially the loss of control of the certainty of behavior to avoid harm or bring pleasure, right? So we become, the more fearful we are, the more controlling we would like to be. So when you meet a person, you really are dealing with somebody who's very fearful. They may not appear so. They may look strong and powerful and be bold and what have you, but in essence, there's some insecurities. They have some intense insecurities that they have, that they are trying to control their environment to make sure they avoid that pain that they could have, or to maintain that pleasure that they think they get out of the things that they are controlling. And so controlling people reflect a really deep pain inside of them that needs to be addressed if they are to be free, to allow others to be free. And in that freedom, they can all enjoy a more innovative, creative, loving, caring, kind environment. Mean people are controlling people. Why? They are scared. They're scared of losing something that they have attached themselves to, that they think brings them security, keeps them from pain. This is some of the dynamics at work in our circumstances every single day. Stex says, great show, Shivago, as usual, and great discourse on leadership. I'm reminded of Pastor Miles' leadership that everything rises and falls on leadership, and leadership is born in crisis. I have followed the FNM party's highs and lows in leadership over the years, and I believe it is a good time to address their leadership crisis and solve it once and for all. Even if the FNM has to have a split like the new PLP with Cecil Wallace Whitfield. Sadly, such continuous fighting will destroy the FNM party, which I find overall the years. The FNM doesn't have a leadership crisis, you know. It does not, because, see, when you have a leadership crisis, you have multiple people directing the party itself. Okay, and then there is and remains questions about who's the leader. That's not the FNM situation. Everybody knows that the leader of the FNM is Michael Bindad. Everybody in the party knows the leader of the FNM is Michael Bindad. Those who want to, who contending for leadership knows that Michael Bindad is the leader of the party, and they're trying to get rid of him. And that happens in every organization. That's standard status. So you're not going to do anything about that. So the FNM has no leadership crisis at all. Not at all. Not at all. FNM has a behavioral issue with some of his people. That's all. No crisis. Some of his people are uncooperative. Some of the people are seeking to undermine in their own quest for leadership, in their own quest for what they want. That is typical and standard in almost every organization. So there's no crisis in the FNM at all. And it doesn't have to fix anything. You can always have leadership issues, no matter who's the leader. When Mr. Ingram was leader of the Free National Movement, listen to me, let me tell you something. There was a point at which significant personalities in the FNM said, we want our party back. That's how they viewed Mr. Ingram, as some other who had made of their party something it was not. Okay? In the course of Mr. Ingram's leadership, Tennyson Wells challenged him for leadership. And you had, at the time when Mr. Ingram was backing away, Tommy Turnquist was contending for leadership, and Allen was contending for leadership, and Tennyson Wells was contending for leadership, and so forth. So leadership aspirations will always exist in an organization. There's nothing wrong with that. Even in the strength, there was nothing wrong with somebody wanting to replace Mr. Ingram. Nothing at all. I always tell people, I told one of the leaders in the FNM one time, I said, listen, you can't believe that somebody else's child can't desire to be what you are when you, your mother's child, desires to be who you are. You can't believe that. So the FNM has no crisis. It has no crisis. That's people who are doing things that could undermine its cause, but that's standard. And all Mr. Pindad has to do as leader is be mindful to pay attention to the things he needs to pay attention to, and don't be distracted by some of that nonsense. Let me tell you all something. Your attention is the most valuable asset you have. Your attention. Because the things you focus on grows for you. If you focus on the wrong thing will grow in your life. So your attention is your most valuable asset. Be careful when people are doing things trying to get your attention to keep you distracted from the thing you should be paying attention to. Right? They kicking up and fussing up, and you think you have to answer them. Answer who? Huh? They acting up and carrying on, and think you should be paying attention to them. Why? Do what you got to do. Make sure you focus on what you're supposed to focus on that keeps you whole and keeps the things that you are working on healthy and strong and moving forward. So I do not agree that Mr. Pindad needs to be paying attention to all this nonsense. Mr. Pindad's attention needs to be on the one group of people that matters the most on planet Earth for him and his organization as a whole. That's the behavior of people as a whole, because who can make that party government again? Only the Bahamian voters. So why should I focus on any individual when the people that gets my organization to its destiny to do the good it seeks to do are the voters? Careful. People are always trying to distract you and undermine your effort. Be careful. Sometimes you, as a parent, you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're cheering, kicking up and fussing up. Don't pay them no attention. I was on a plane one time and this lady, man, her daughter was carrying on bad. This girl, the daughter must have been 3 or 4. And I could see the embarrassment. I could see the concern. And this is a young mother. But having had 4 children of my own, and she was sitting right on the side of me. And I could tell, the lady was tired, man. She was exhausted. And we were on a flight to Europe. She was exhausted. So you know what I said to her? Because I saw her kept doing this and doing it. I said, listen, let her cry. And don't you be concerned about us. Don't worry about us. You just let her cry. I guarantee you, in a little while, she'll be asleep. But every time you try to, you are reinforcing in her that what she's doing to get your attention works. So just let her cry. Go ahead. And man, in 10 minutes, that child was sleeping like a baby. The woman looked at me and she went, wow. He said, that's what having 4 children does to you. Then I was somewhere else sitting by a restaurant. This young girl, you could see, oh man, this little boy was terrorizing her, running up and down. And all day she just keeps running after him and he keeps saying, because he's bothering people to me and so forth. I said, darling, listen to me. She's an American. I said, just leave the child. I said, because every time you get up to show him attention, which is what he wants from you, he keeps realizing that I just have to keep doing this thing. I said, let him leave him. Leave him. Just make sure he stays out of danger, but you leave him. And sure enough, she ain't paying that no attention. He comes sit right down on the side of her. Be careful what you give your attention to, man. Right? Make sure it is what you need to be paying attention to. As Tex says, as long as Minister ain't no more leader of the FNM, the party's okay. This Texas, no more splits. There's no leadership crisis. The former leader just needs to get out of his petty feelings and face reality. He is done. He doesn't even need to do that because his aspirations is irrelevant to what the aspirations are of the FNM's delegates and supporters. So even if he's interested to return as leader, that's his right. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't say that. There's nothing wrong with him wanting to do that. He could only be that, though, if the delegates want it. And if the delegates want it, that's democracy. That's how it should be. And if the supporters want it, that's how it should be. So I don't get concerned about that. Person says, attention, excellent advice. Hope Pintard is listening. Stay focused. Every human being's great asset is attention. The things we pay attention to grow in our lives. Anyways, listen, you all have a great, great afternoon. God bless you. I trust and hope that you have a good evening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. You've been listening this evening. Be good.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.